Rewind. I'm Steve Bakken. Good morning.
No Scott Henin this morning. A little under the weather. And, well, speaking of weather, a little bit of that rolling around the area as well. Boy, we had tornadoes in southwestern North Dakota last night. One funnel cloud dropped down and one actually touched down. One did not touch the ground, and one actually did make it down to the ground, but kind of weird weather. It was awfully cool. Had a little great event yesterday with the NDSU Bison, a little fundraiser alumni event at Apple Creek Golf Course, which golfing yesterday, and that weather was a little interesting as well, but a great time. Had a talk, chance to talk with President Bresciani from NDSU yesterday, and of course, one of the topics that we discussed was the stepping down of Chancellor Ham Shirvani. We're going to talk to him a little bit later on in the program. Also coming up at 10:06, outgoing Chancellor of North Dakota Board of Higher Education, Ham Shirvani, on why he resigned and what needs to be done to fix the North Dakota higher education system in his views. And 9:30, we're going to talk with North Dakota State Representative Bob Scarpel, Chancellor at Shirvani, and defender on the effects of his resignation. How does this play in? That's my question, is how does this play in with what's going on this fall, with the vote coming up on whether or not there should even be a Board of Higher Education, if there should just be a panel that's run by the governor, a three-person panel. We're going to have an opportunity to vote on that. What are your thoughts? Is that the big news for you? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, or you can email the studio at KFYR at clearchannel.com. Open phones the first half hour. We want to know what's on your mind. Then coming up at 10:30. We're going to talk with Captain George Burke, a retired U.S. Air Force veteran of the Vietnam War, plane crash survivor. There's an event taking place this weekend, Saturday, North Dakota Patriot Guards, Korean Vietnam veterans welcoming home ceremony at the Bismarck Civic Center. So Friday, we're going to be talking about that a little bit, and hopefully I'll get an opportunity to get over there. It's marking the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War and the 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. So if you're in the Bismarck area, that is going to be a great event at the Civic Center, and I do invite you to participate in that. Once again, open phone 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. What is on your mind? Will Chancellor Shirvani's resignation give higher education reform a fresh start, or doom it? That's kind of the big question on my mind, is where do we go from here with higher education in North Dakota? A lot of people thought that it did need to get reined in a little bit. A lot of people were thinking that the higher education system, I don't know if I want to go as far as to say is broke. But when we're looking at what North Dakota kids are paying for tuition, when we're looking at the debt load that's coming out, when we're looking at a four-year education taking 5 or 6 years, and some of that's on the student, but having been through the process at the University of North Dakota, I will flat out say there's a disconnect. There's a problem in the system when the onus isn't put on cranking out kids. You want to get the kids in. You want to get them out in as short a period of time as possible, and make room. I look at it this way. You want to make room for the next student coming in. The university system really doesn't do that. They look at it as, let's how long can we keep these kids in school because we generate revenue off of that. And I don't think that's the right approach. Is the system broken? Does it need to be fixed? I think Chancellor Shirvani was on the right track, whether or not he was doing some of the things the right way. He was doing the job he was hired for. He really was. The question I have is, does this mean we go back to the status quo? Are you happy with the university system? Should we stay where we're at? I don't know. This kind of throws a monkey wrench in there. Of course, many of the Board of Higher Education have been supporting Shirvani, and then we started to see a little bit of erosion as of last week, and weren't quite sure where this was going to go, but now he's getting a big buyout. I believe something in the area of $800,000. I know there's some state legislators that are awfully happy about this, but where does that leave our university system in the state of North Dakota? There was a lot made between the legislative session and the university system. I think there's not too many people that will not say that there aren't some issues that need to be addressed. I think that's why he was brought into the system. I think that's why Ham Shirvani was brought in, to make sure that there was some sort of an equity in the system, because you had several institutions, and I'm going to point my finger at NDSU and UND, that were running carte blanche. Revenues were going up. The spending was going up. And it was kind of a feeding the system off itself. The more they make, the more they spend. The more they spend, the more they make. Is that the right approach? You look at some of the budgets for these institutions, and where's the oversight? From a taxpayer's point of view, and being that we're heavily funding from a taxpayer's point of view with higher education in North Dakota, I got a little bit of a problem with that. I do. It's, where's the fiscal responsibility? Do you really need that extra dry board eraser when you don't use dry board erasers anymore? And I know that's a simplification of the system, but I don't think that there's the proper oversight on higher education. Do we have some fine institutions in North Dakota? Yes, we do. I think we have some world-class institutions in North Dakota, whether it's Dickinson State University or Bismarck State College or Williston or Minot, Mayville, Valley City, Wahpeton, Devil's Lake. If I'm leaving anybody out, I apologize. And they're led the way by UND and NDSU. Those are two of the best universities, I would say, in the entire country. But you got to have fiscal responsibility. I don't think that is there all the time. I think there's some things that need to be addressed. We did have an off-air caller concerning Ham Shravani discussing the vote for Board of Education 2014, not this November. So I screwed up on the date on that. But let's go to the off-air caller right now. Oh, okay. We did have an off-air caller concerning Shravani, though. Do we have that ready? Okay. We'll come back to that probably right after the break. But I want to know what you think about higher education. I had a couple other topics I wanted to look at, but this is the one on my mind. And I think it's a little bit more on my mind because I just paid off my student loan last week. It took me quite a while, some 20 years, but I got it paid off. And I didn't even have that big of a student loan. But I wrote that last check last week, and it kind of made me feel good. But what does that mean to the rest of North Dakota students? Let's go to that clip right now.
Hello, I just have a few comments on the Shravani resignation. Well, one is he got quite a deal to get a contract set up where he gets paid off in such so much money. But some of my comments were like, these are the most civilized people that we have, our educators, and they can't get along very well. They get these first-class educations, but they cannot put up with a little give and take in the public square. I think we have to concentrate on hiring people from North Dakota. We don't want to get these outsiders, all our professors, these people, they just don't know the North Dakota culture. President Tom Clifford and that generation built up this education system to a very high level, and these people cannot get along with one another to make things go. We just have to come back and hire our own type of people who have good qualifications for these positions. We don't want to go with these outside people. They come in with these wrong notions. We're going to have people that want... I think if Shravani said he was for... well, that's another thing, but that's some of the comments I have. Thanks.
Great call. Is it a question of us having North Dakotans do North Dakota jobs? There's a little bit of a different culture here in North Dakota, and I want to know what you think. Is this a position? Should we look within our own state borders quite often when we look at hiring? Let's go to Sharon in Glenburn. Sharon, what's on your mind today?
That's exactly my point. If our universities are doing such a wonderful job of education, why can't we hire the people they are educating to do these jobs?
You know, Sharon, there's been this long-standing tradition in higher education that if you have a great graduate, they need to go someplace else before they can come back and work at your institution. Don't ask me why, but it's kind of an unwritten rule. The most talented people, they'll find a place for you, but you need to go out and I don't know if it's a question of there's a nepotism thought in the process, but they drive their own graduates away and then bring them back if there's an opportunity to bring them back. I think we do have a lot of great talented people within North Dakota and should go down that road. But Sharon, let me ask you this. Do you get caught up sometimes that there's not enough outside perspective, or do you think we'd even need the outside perspective?
No, I don't think we need it, because the people that come from the larger areas have no clue of what goes on in North Dakota.
Sharon, I agree with you to a certain degree on that, but it is nice to get that little bit of an outside perspective. Sharon and Glenburn, thanks for the call. What's on your mind? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. I'm Steve Bach, and it's What's on Your Mind.
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Select Energy Services, an industry leader in innovative and efficient end-to-end water solutions and well site services, is looking for experienced Class A CDL drivers with clean driving records and water hauling experience. At Select, we believe our most valuable assets are the hardworking employees that we are proud to call our team. We offer excellent benefits and competitive wages. To apply, contact our Williston office at 701-875-5500 or visit selectenergyservices.com. Select Energy Services, one source for total water solutions.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit ButlerMachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
What's on your mind around the region? 53 degrees in Bismarck, Mandan this hour. Williston, 45. 48 in Dickinson. Minot, 47. Jamestown, 55. Devil's Lake, 50 this hour. Grand Forks, 52. And Fargo, 57. Billings, Montana, 45. And down in Mobridge, we're at 60 degrees this hour. So a little bit of interesting weather going through the area yesterday. A couple tornadoes. One touching down, one not making it down. Your thoughts on higher education in North Dakota? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. This is What's on Your Mind. Chris in Detroit Lakes, what are your thoughts, my friend?
Thanks. I'm wondering, Steve, if you could list two things that you really like about the Higher Board of Education and then address that. How come only 20% graduate? And why will they not drug test school teachers?
You're talking higher education school teachers or?
The Board of Higher Education.
That's a good question. Let's see. What do I like about the Board of Higher Education? Well, going out on a limb, you may have stumped me on this one.
I got a better question for you, too. You know, I'm wondering why my daughter could grow up in a conservative household and spending 5 years at MSU or NDSU turns them into a hand-wringing liberal.
You know, we were having this discussion earlier on tenure issues, and I think the tenure needs to be in place to protect the open thought process and free speech. As far as the whole liberal conservative thing, you know, do your best, send them off to college, and hopefully they'll figure out that where they need to be politically to get a job and have this country work. When it comes to higher education, I want the opportunities there. I want the different thought processes there, whether it's conservative, liberal, whatever. I think kids need to be exposed to all of that. But are you trying to go down the path that there's a bias to the liberal side when you get to higher education?
Let me ask, do you really think that there isn't?
I'm not going to say there isn't. I will not say that, but I've had some great conservative professors. I've had some great liberal professors. There's a reason it's called liberal arts degree. But when you're looking at the system, I think there's a problem with the system. There's a disconnect in the system, and it goes back to financing. When you're looking at an institutional system that is set up the way it's set up from a financial picture, it kind of leads itself to be more liberal because it's more about a handout rather than running a business. And I think higher education is a business. It's big business. It's huge business for North Dakota. You know, one of the things I didn't like seeing was the Bank of North Dakota getting the student loan aspect stripped out of it. I think there was an opportunity to give North Dakota some flexibility there, and that went away. The biggest problem I see is we're saddling these kids coming out with such a financial burden, and who's winning off this? It's the universities.
And what are they getting for their money? What's the return on investment when only 20% graduate?
Tell you what, that's a great point. When you start looking at institutions around North Dakota like Wahpeton, Bismarck State, primarily two-year colleges, you're almost better off coming out with that degree if you plan on going and getting right into the workforce. You know, not getting saddled with that extra $100,000 of debt, and what traditionally were jobs in the past are now great career fields. It's a balancing act. Where are you on? I think you're better off with that two-year degree, don't you, Chris?
I think so. Or tech school, or, you know, everybody that graduated with me all them years ago, the ones that went into plumbing and electrical, and they're all living the high life now.
And they're all private business owners for the most part. How many of those guys do you know that are now private business owners? They branched off on their own, and they own their own business.
And employing people, every one of them.
Yeah. What's the value of that in America?
They're priceless.
Exactly. You know, you got to weigh the situation. You know, not everybody's cut out for a four-year degree or an eight-year degree or whatever the case may be. Some people are cut out to do a two-year degree and get into different avenues. You know what? Most of the people I know that have gone that two-year route, especially with the development that's going on in Western North Dakota right now, they're already business owners. They've got a huge jump on most people with a four-year degree.
Yes, they do.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate
Chris, thanks
that.
For the phone call. Let's go to Matt in Carrington. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just want, you know, they were talking about the fact that, you know, why aren't we hiring more people from in-state and or why aren't we hiring our own graduates? And, you know, you got to understand the education system in the sense that academia is ruled by accreditation. And so to go ahead and sway away from it and forget the terminology, but to sway away from inbreeding, accreditation says that you have to go ahead and basically get people with an open thought or different backgrounds, and they've really pushed that idea. So universities, no matter what state it is, really don't like to hire their own graduates. And, you know, even when you go to higher education, it's never a good idea to go ahead and say, well, okay, I'm going to get at NDU or UND, I mean, I'm going to get a bachelor's, then a master's, then a doctorate at UND and stay there. Most people in academia go from one school to another to get a broad base. So the idea that, you know, people aren't being hired from in the state as state graduates is pushed by accreditation.
But, Mike, doesn't it make sense? Wouldn't you think you can break it down regionally? You know, if you want to broaden that base a little bit, what's wrong with keeping it at least regional? You know, somebody that graduated the University of Minnesota or the University of Mary or South Dakota State University is going to have a better perspective of what goes on in the upper Midwest than somebody that comes from California, Florida.
Well,
not an idea how the system works. I think you can still draw on that base.
Well, I agree, and because I'm a person of, you know, get your money out of the students that you graduate. That's why, you know, in-state tuition versus out-of-state tuition, because you know a student is going to go, if they're out-of-state, there's more likely they're going to go come to your university. And then in your higher education, and then take their skills to go elsewhere. And the idea of in-state tuition was to keep people here. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we're on this kick of, you know, everybody's got to be accredited. Everybody's got to be accredited. Well, unfortunately, that's a bad process along with the tenure process. I think the tenure process and the accreditation process, I mean, you definitely want to have stock gates in place so kids don't, you know, waste their money like they do at these private universities right now that, you know, that are popping up all over the place online and everything. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the accreditation process is one that really pushes the idea that you got to have well-rounded people. You can't, you know, this is why they went with the Siobhan, because he had, you know, such... Yeah.
Matt, great point. We're up against the break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Mike, and we'll get Mark on as well. And we're going to have North Dakota State Representative Bob Scarple. It's What's on Your Mind on KFIRE 550 and a host of other stations, The Flag and Grand Forks and Tioga, Bismarck, Dickinson, and Minot.
Butler Machinery, we're not just about tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' Meals, Oregon Trail Foods, and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bach and Scott Hannon. A little under the weather today. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. What's on your mind concerning higher education? We're going to talk with North Dakota State Representative Barb Scarpel. We'll get to Bob in just a few moments. Two quick callers I want to get in here, find out what's on your mind. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
On the Shrivani deal, I think it strictly lies all on the shoulder of the Board of Higher Ed. You know, they hired Shrivani to do a job, you know, and he was doing it. And now they found out what it all entailed and what was going to be involved. They backed away from. They did the same thing with Harry Potts when he was chancellor. You know?
Were they trying to cover their own butts, given that
exactly
vote is coming up next year?
The board has to go. I mean, there's no way, you know, anything's going to get done or accomplished in this state unless we do away with the Board of Higher Ed. You know?
We've had, four chancellors resign since 2006, I think, was the number I heard?
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
And look at the severance packages and all this stuff, you know. And, I mean, good thing the coffers are full. We couldn't afford to afford higher ed. You know?
Yeah, but should we have to spend that kind of money to replace individuals that were hired to do a job and then not let do the job?
Exactly. So I think it's the problem is the Board of Higher Ed. We get rid of the board, and I think everything else will fit into place.
Mike, thanks for your phone call. Quickly, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, our previous caller talked about his daughter being raised in a conservative household, but then turning into a hand-wringing liberal after graduating from a local university. I think this can be explained by the fact that universities intentionally really do not frame the knowledge they teach within the ideas of a constitutional republic and the Bill of Rights and what it takes to hold on to those rights in a hostile world. I think it's illustrated by an article in the New York Times, December 1st, 2010, titled China's Superior Economic Model. And it was based on comments by the chairman and CEO of Intel, Andy Grove, extolling the virtues of communist China's economic model. And these multinationals are run by hardcore leftists, many of them Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. They contribute heavily to R&D departments at universities. And they don't want a nation based on constitutional principles.
Well, it goes back to some of the principles within business that are being shoved across. Mark, thanks for the phone call. Let's get to our guest, North Dakota State Representative Barb Scarpel. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
Bob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There we go. Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Bob. North Dakota State Representative Barb Scarpel, Steve Bach, and it's What's on Your Mind. Bob, you were a supporter of Chancellor Shrivani, weren't you?
Very much so, yes.
Did this take you by surprise, the result of the meeting yesterday with the Board of Higher Education?
No, I would say that it did not take me by surprise. It was extremely disappointing, but I don't think surprise is a term that I would used in describing it.
You know, one of the things I look at when I heard the news yesterday, other than the open records side of things, which there was a little contention there, which firmly got put on Shravani's shoulders, but I don't think he was the only one not involved with that. What does that tell you from the board's side of things when they're not backing the chancellor that they brought in to do a job that they deemed needed to be done?
Well, the unfortunate circumstance is that when Dr. Shravani was hired, there were six members on the board. Two of them resigned, unfortunately. And two of the four remaining members, I guess, were convinced by other powers that Dr. Shravani was not the man that was needed.
Then why was he hired in the first place?
Well, because after the 2011 session, the board, very honestly, I believe, thought there was a need for reform in higher education. And they interviewed a number of people, and they settled on Dr. Shravani as being the individual that could bring about the reform that they thought they wanted. And he described, I believe, to the board in advance what he had hoped to do. They recognized it as the solutions that needed to happen. However, determination of some of the members of the board to follow through on that was dramatically weakened.
Are those problems still there, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. They've not gone away. You know, and the issue really is that if you have a system or a business, either one, a business, if you have a business that you own that's in trouble, and you start looking around for a new leader to run this business for you, you don't pick somebody from within that system because they're the problem. That's the problem. The system, the business that you have is the problem. So you go out and you find outside leadership that you feel is qualified. You bring it in to make the changes that you think need to be made, and you back him up, and him or her. And whatever the case may be, when you bring someone new in to lead an entity, there's going to be discomfort. There's going to be people that have to leave because of the practices that they've become used to. And it creates discomfort. It creates pushback. And unfortunately, the willingness of the members of the board that hired Dr. Shravani did not follow through on the commitments they made to this man.
We're talking with North Dakota State Representative Bob Scarpall from Tioga, a supporter of Chancellor Shravani. When you bring somebody in a business setting, and I look at higher education as business, it's a big business here in North Dakota, just like it is everywhere else across the country. When you're looking at it from a business model, we can see where it's broken because of the expenditures. From a taxpayer's perspective, I can look at higher education and go, wow, they're spending that much money. What are the kids getting out of that? That was one of the primary things that Chancellor Shravani was brought in for, what Dr. Shravani was brought into North Dakota for that outside perspective. Where does that leave higher education now as far as repairing some of the things that are still deemed to be broken within the system?
Well, I'm not sure that there's a sense of the existing board that things are broken. I mean, that's what's unfortunate. I think the mindset has changed, and that the current board members have been convinced that, you know, that we have a good system. Why do we need to change it? And that's going to be unfortunate in the long run, because the people that are going to suffer the most are going to be the students. Because had Dr. Shravani been able to follow through on his plans, he would have elevated the quality of our institutions, and our students would have been graduating from higher quality institutions. You know, if you think it through and you think about it, I would challenge you to come up with a president of an institution in the state of North Dakota who has moved upward to a larger and more renowned institution after having been president of an institution here, other than those. And I can only think of one, and that's Dr. Bauer, who moved closer to family by moving from North Dakota back to Ohio. And if we had the high-quality system that we think we have or that's been touted, I would have thought that we would have had presidents that would have been hired away from North Dakota because of the fact that we were doing such a great job of educating our students.
Well, it's just like any business. If you have a successful business, you're going to get poached. You're going to have other companies coming in, other similar businesses, taking your employees because they want what you have. And you bring up a great point, Bob, that there's not that outflow. There's no outsourcing of North Dakota higher education administrators that are leaving the state of North Dakota.
Well, and that's true. And I attribute that to the fact that what we have is not a system. And I don't believe that the systems that are out there looking for presidents recognize our operation as something that's a desirable place to look for prospective employees.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. The dismissal of Chancellor Shirvani yesterday, of course, leading the news. We're talking with North Dakota State Representative Bob Scarple from Tioga, a Shirvani supporter. Let's go to Lawrence. What's on your mind, Lawrence, in South Fargo?
Yeah, good morning to you, gentlemen. Good luck. Bless you this morning. With all due respect, Representative from Tioga, with all due respect, even the Attorney General himself spoke out against the secrecy and the dictatorship practices of this man in that office. That is not acceptable anywhere. And for you to downgrade NDSU and saying he's now left for a better institution, I don't think there's a better institution in the whole Midwest than NDSU and the UND up there for teaching people the good family-like atmosphere. So I think you're way off base on your statements.
Lawrence, thanks for the phone call. What's your response to that? We do have good institutions, but I think there's a disconnect on the upper end as far as the system. And that's what you alluded to, isn't it, Bob?
That's correct. And just in response to Lawrence, you know, I think the Attorney General's response was not so much at Dr. Shirvani as it was at the State Board for having violated the open records and open meetings laws. You know, Dr. Shirvani cannot violate the open meetings law. Only the board can. So to put the blame for the violations of open meetings on Dr. Shirvani is a bit of a stretch.
So with the open meeting violations, not Dr. Shirvani's fault, that falls on the board, like you stated. Other than that, were there any other things that you saw as a state representative that may have been out of line concerning the chancellor's position in his tenure here?
You know, and I can't speak to anything that I saw that I believe was out of line, very honestly. Like I said, employees are going to get nervous when there's a new man in charge or a new person in charge. You know, there's no doubt about that. I don't care where you work. If a new boss is brought in, you know, any employee is going to kind of guard their actions for at least a period of time to ensure and get a read on the new boss and what his attitude is. And I freely admit that Dr. Shirvani was a demanding taskmaster. He expected, you know, good things from people. And if you weren't willing to deliver, he was probably a difficult man to deal with. I don't deny that fact. But, you know, obviously we had a system that wasn't performing at the level that the state board thought it should. They decided to make changes. And I believe, you know, it's unfortunate what has transpired, extremely unfortunate, and I don't think it reflects well on the state of North Dakota.
Flat out, did the board do this to save their jobs with the vote coming up next year on whether or not there's going to be a board of higher education? Did they throw Chancellor Shirvani under the bus to try to protect their own butts and let some of this die down?
I'm not sure they can save themselves.
Why now? Why would they do this now when we've got that potential vote coming up to the people that could do away with the Board of Higher Education?
Well, I think there was so much pressure being put on because of resistance to the changes that Dr. Shirvani was recommending that they're just the courage to move forward in the direction he wanted to move just disappeared. It dissolved. And,
Bob, we're up against the break, Bob. Can we hold you over for a few minutes?
Sure.
We're talking with Barb Scarple, the state of higher education in North Dakota. I'm Steve Bakken. Scott, a little under the weather today. It's What's on Your Mind? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
When Nesson Consulting speaks, anyone doing business in the Bakken listens. They provide their clients with the most reliable, accurate, and effective eyes-at-the-bit geologic analysis possible. We're talking a little bit about doing business in the Bakken today with Kathy Nesset of Nesset Consulting Services. What advice would you have for folks doing business here in the Bakken?
First off, learn about it. You know, if somebody is interested in getting involved in this in any way, shape, or form, there's so much support. You don't have to work on a drilling rig to be part of the oil field. You know, all the support services we were talking about, whether it's the homes, the building, the construction, road construction, all these different services, there's just so much here. Educate yourself. Do your research and know your homework. North Dakota is an absolutely beautiful place to live. Tioga is the oil capital of North Dakota. Absolutely a great town. But my advice would be to learn about it and look at your opportunities. There's a multitude of things that people could be doing to support this industry.
Nesset Consulting Service. Call them at 701-664-1492. Go to nessetconsulting.com or find the link at pocketbeacon.com.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT 5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big-screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bakken. Scott Henn, a little under the weather today. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Do you think the dismissal of Chancellor Ham Shirvani is good for higher education in North Dakota? We're talking with North Dakota State Representative Barb Scarpole of Tioga. Bob, given the timing now, as opposed to when there was... It seemed like a concerted effort during the legislative session. Why would they wait until now instead of taking the easier path and dismissing the chancellor during the session?
You know, I guess I can't speak to what the the psychology of the board is. However, I think if you think this through, you would recognize the fact that people that travel in the circles of higher education at this level are the type of people who demand contracts that pretty well delineate what's going to transpire in the event they leave in advance of the end of their contract. In other words, what I'm saying is that there was a preconception that, you know, he would be bought out, I believe, in the event that he didn't fulfill the full 3 years. Had they chose to fire him, the implications as far as financially may have been much larger, because I'm not totally unsure that a lawsuit wouldn't have been filed for multiple millions of dollars in the event of a firing. So, you know, Dr. Shirvani signing this agreement yesterday to bow out gracefully as he could probably was the most inexpensive way that North Dakota could have handled this.
From a financial standpoint, this is, if I remember the number I heard yesterday correctly, since 2006, the fourth chancellor that has resigned, or been bought out, the financial ramifications of that, these are not small numbers. You think of the budget, but we're looking at an $800,000 buyout for Chancellor Shirvani. That adds up. That's money that could have gone towards some of the infrastructure issues or classrooms or further professors or dorms at one of the universities.
Well, there are some issues with what you just stated, and that, you know, we do have separate categories for capital projects versus operating. I believe it's going to fall entirely on the board to come up with the money. I believe the money's going to have to come out of the system office, and they're going to have to find it within the system office budget in some fashion in order to pay it out.
Was this a forced resignation, or was this a mutual walking away from the table?
Well, I think Dr. Shirvani going into this, as I read it, had made the statement that he either wanted a three-year contract or he wanted to leave. And I guess eventually the board, after some discussion, chose the option of having him leave.
Was there a tipping point where the board had finally... it said something stood out enough to where they didn't want to negotiate down that road?
Well, again, Steve, I can't speak for the board. I can't tell you if there was a tipping point, when there was a tipping point, or what that tipping point may have been.
What's this mean for higher education for the state of North Dakota? How do you find a replacement, especially with that looming vote coming up next year?
Well, I think based on, you know, higher education perspective nationally, looking at North Dakota, I think we'll have an incredibly difficult time getting anyone to consider coming to North Dakota and being chancellor. And that's unfortunate because, you know, much like training an emergency room doctor, you don't train an emergency room doctor in Tioga because they're not going to get exposed to enough variation in the things that they're not going to deal with. And the same thing applies in higher education and choosing a chancellor. You want to choose someone who has broad experience and has seen all of the games that are played and understands how the games are played and understands how to find solutions to those problems. And that, unfortunately, is what Dr. Shirvani brought to the table, and it was recognized by the powers that be within the system of North Dakota, and that's why the pushback was so severe and so... I guess un North Dakotan. I'm embarrassed, you know, by the actions that were taken to fight this man, and it's troubling.
Does that limit the search to North Dakotans who have left the state and gone in other avenues of higher education to try to search them out and bring them back to North Dakota?
Well, you have to ask yourself, why would anyone want to come back and do it? I mean, it's obviously you're not going to come back to provide solutions. You're going to come back to be the whipping boy of the legislature, who's going to pound on you because higher education is not accountable.
We're coming up against the break. One quick phone call. Brent in Bismarck, what's on your mind today? Brent, go ahead.
Hi. I'm on North Dakota Dollars for Scholars Board, and we work really, really hard trying to raise roughly $150,000 a year so we can give out more scholarships so more kids can go to college. And it seems like a real waste of money if you're spending the kind of money you guys are talking about today. It seems like we're just wasting our time.
Yeah, it brings up an interesting point. You're struggling trying to raise a little bit of money for North Dakota students when you've got a buyout like this. And let's come back to the dollars. Brent, thanks for the phone call. Bob, last word. Where does that leave education as far as financially from the legislative standpoint, not having a chance or moving forward?
Well, I don't think that's going to be a detriment to higher education. I believe there's enough influence in higher education in the state of North Dakota that they'll move forward pretty much in a fashion that they so desire.
Thanks for joining us today, North Dakota State Representative Bob Scarpel. When we come back, 10:06, we're going to talk with Ham Shirvani himself and find out about his resignation. I'm Steve Bach, and it's What's on Your Mind.
We'll be right back after these messages.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, it kills skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give 100% guarantee that smell ever comes back. Call us up. We'll refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to getridofsmellnow.com, use the promo code Scott, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. Getridofsmellnow.com, 100% money back guarantee. You can't beat it. And it's North Dakota made.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click BensDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on BensDiscountSupply.com.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult, valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.